2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank Sasso from A History with God Ministries. Recently, I was the guest on another podcast called History on Fire Now with Andrew Anastasopoulos, very good friend of mine. Andrew is all about history, so I'm going to play this episode for you this week on the Who's Your Daddy Godcast. And remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Hello, radio world. Welcome to historyonfirenow.com. I am your lovable host, and you know lovable, Andrew Anastasopoulos, also known as the Hellenic Historian, and in my Muay Thai circles, the Spartan, and you know I'm the Spartan. I have a very special guest today. The one and only Frank Sasso, which without him, I don't think I'd be where we are right now. So welcome to the show. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me. Wow, the one and only, huh?
One and only.
That's pretty insane.
Hey, Frank, cheers, man. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Cool.
Very good coffee, by the way.
Good.
I'm a stickler for good coffee.
Are you?
It has to be good.
Okay.
It's like my wife, she likes iced coffee. She likes really boiling hot coffee. But give her a warm coffee, she'll spit it right out.
Oh, she'll throw it out the window. I don't blame her.
Horrible stuff.
We are, I guess, coffee Nazis in this house. Mainly my mother.
Coffee Nazi.
So you got your soup Nazi, you got a coffee Nazi. My mother loves coffee. There's a Greek saying, cafe joule. That's what my father says to her.
What does that mean?
It means just a coffee nut.
Cafe what?
Joule, like cafe joule.
Cafe joule?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what my dad says. That's the thick Greek accent from my father.
That'd be a good Spartan Studios LLC t-shirt.
Yeah, okay. I'll consult my...
Having to do with nothing. Just cafe joule with a little cup and on the sleeve, Spartan Studios.
I'll consult the big Greek and we'll get back. I'll let you know.
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, we love coffee in this house. Mm. She is biased to Starbucks, and this is actually Starbucks Italian roasted, but from a very special friend.
Is that what I'm drinking?
Yep, that's what you're drinking. Italian, dark Italian roast.
Okay.
You know?
I'm usually not a fan of the Italian or the French roast.
No?
But this is actually quite good.
I'm usually not a fan of the crack prices at Starbucks, but...
Mm-hmm. Hey, you get what you pay for. I have no problem paying $4 for a tall coffee. I think their coffee is great. I like Small World as well.
Small World. Why do I know Small World?
Small World is right out of Princeton.
Okay, all right.
Small World Roasters.
I love Princeton. Princeton Record Exchange.
Good stuff.
I'm a big music guy, but you know that already.
The Princeton Record Exchange.
Okay.
Wow, you still working with vinyl?
You know what? I need a new vinyl player.
Are you serious?
Dude, like, look, right here. This is the old one. It's not working.
Have you ever heard of an MP3?
Dude, I got it all. Listen, MP3s are good for the car, and it's good for the gym, but when I'm home, it's wine, coffee... And that vinyl.
In that order. Right, so you're like taking a record album, opening it up, feeling the vinyl, putting it on the turntable.
All of it.
A little moon rock needle.
Well, I told you my theory behind that, right?
No.
About how a record, an album, is a photo album. I don't care about a single. Okay, it's great that David Bowie has China Girl and you know, Young Americans, all great songs, right?
Okay.
But unless you listen to the radio, you really don't know David Bowie. To know David Bowie, you got to get the album, and you got to look through, and you got to see what his thought process was.
Mm.
You know, like when you go ahead and you say, "I'm going to go ahead and have an album for a year," and you put all your pictures in the year, and say, and you go back at the end of the year and you say, "Oh, we did it this year. It's a good memory."
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, so it's deep. So deep and profound for me.
Right,
music.
Right.
So
gotcha.
You know, singles are cool, but you know what though, my problem with radio is. I don't want to hear the same singles. I want to hear something that you might not know about, or I might not know
about. Right.
So, I'm really into the music that way.
Cool.
So that's how I look at it.
I know Andrew is way too humble and modest to bring this up, so I'm going to bring it up because I'm not. in that sense, it's Andrew's birthday today, so I'm like doubly blessed and humbled and privileged and honored to be on your birthday show, man. This is all, so you guys are not hearing this. Actually, yesterday was his birthday.
No, it's today.
Meaning today. But you're hearing this on Friday.
Right,
so
yes, because we're on Friday.
We're like actually recording in the future.
I see what...
But really, in the past.
I see what you did
which
there.
Which is our present.
Doc, I see what you did there.
How crazy is that?
You know?
I can't stand that time travel stuff. That stuff hurts my head.
Dude, you just took a word right out of my mouth, dude.
After a while, I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Dude, I was watching Terminator the other night, and dude, I'm like, yo, like, I can't even wrap my head around
it. Well, which Terminator were you watching? The brand new
one? The first one.
Oh, the first one. Have you seen Terminator Genesis?
I like the first 20 minutes was about the first one.
Oh. It was the first one all over again.
Up until, yeah, the iCloud is Skynet. Oh, spoiler.
Oh, the iCloud, right?
Spoiler. Yeah, my bad.
Spoiler alert. By the way,
it's been out for 8 months, people. You should have seen it already.
Yeah, you know what? You shouldn't be saying spoiler alert if you're talking about Jaws, you know, or Star Wars. Enough.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. You have to understand, you should put a disclaimer on your podcast that we might be talking about movies that you haven't seen
in the future.
Yet, in the future. Right. Which is not now, which is their past.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Exactly. It's okay, because I barely understand it, and just wasn't when I think I'm starting to understand it better, it's like slips away like smoke.
It flips on you.
So there may be spoilers in this podcast.
May or may not.
There you go. There's our legal disclaimer so no one can sue you.
Yo, you know, maybe I should get a physicist on the show and be like, yo, tell me about time travel.
You should totally do that. I would like to be in on that conversation.
Okay, I want
to
be like...
Because I have many questions. Like, if you meet yourself, what happens? Is that like a paradox? Do you like cease to exist?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll get him on here and be like, yo, listen, explain it to me like I'm 2 years old, and go. That's what I'm going to say to him.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine who works at Princeton. I'm sure he could find somebody that we could ask these questions.
Okay.
I would love that. Okay. I would love that. That's my only thing is I would need to be part of that show.
All right, deal. You got it. You're already a part of the show to begin with. I mean, let's not be real. Talk about humbleness. This guy is the behind-the-scenes engineer. He's the master of the universe. He is Obi-Wan.
Wow, the master of the universe? It's a podcast. Dude, calm down.
He's... Listen, this is his... This is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let's be real. You know? But you know, I forgot it was my birthday until you mentioned it.
Oh, you did not. You forgot it was your birthday.
Yeah, this is time travel, man. You know? Totally messes me up.
Right.
So, it is a history podcast, so we're going to talk a little bit about history, but okay. At the same time, I'm feeling very, very be like water, like Bruce Lee. I think we're going to go all over the place, you know?
Okay.
Be what, you know?
It's always fun.
Last week, as you guys know, if hopefully you listened to last week's show, we talked about the Princeton battle, the Battle of Princeton, and why it's such an important battle, and why there's endangerment right now happening today with the battlefield, and why it needs to be stopped. And yeah, so basically, long story short, you know, the Princeton battlefield was the turning point for the American Revolution. All right, if you look at the many documentaries, including the 10 Crucial Days, Trenton and Princeton being the last one, is basically a turning point. And what I mean by that is, up until Princeton,
right,
the war was pretty much lost. I mean, the American, the Continentals were battered, they were bruised, they were ready to throw in the towel. Okay. And even Ben Franklin was in France, and he was trying to get France to jump on. And
was he really?
Yeah, he was kind of like the infiltrator in a way. He was kind of like, you know, he went really closed off and like, oh, I'm just here just to kind of party and relax or whatever. Anybody who would ask him anything, he was just like, he would play it off. Oh, I'm going to have wine and I'm going to play chess and hang out, this sort of stuff. So he kept very tight-lipped.
Like he didn't really care.
He didn't really care. Okay. But he was there for an agenda, and the agenda was to go ahead and get the French on the cause of the American Revolution.
Okay.
So he would pretend to be at a party, and then he would go and he would talk to the French, you know, legal team. They even went to talk to the king.
I never knew any of that all.
It happened. It happened. And so, the reason why it's important is because France wanted to stick to the Britain as much as they could.
Yeah.
Because up until then, even, you know, for a long time, it was always France versus England, or the superpower of Europe.
Mm.
And even before America was created, it was the French and Indian War. And what was that war about? Basically, you know, generally speaking, France versus England for control of North America.
Mm.
You know? So they wanted to jump into the war, but they wanted a sure bet. Okay. And they weren't getting the sure bet until Washington was starting to win some battles. And so he would keep on getting the door thrown in his face,
right.
Washington.
Right.
And like he was getting like, you know, chummy, like, yeah, we want to help you, Ben. We want to help the Americans, but you got to show us something. You know, show us the money, so
sure,
to speak.
Right.
So he's sitting there. He's trying to work, you know, the French and all that kind of stuff. And the Americans are getting battered. And then all of a sudden, we know about, you know, the Christmas Battle of Trenton, you know, when they cross the Delaware.
Yeah, which is really cool. If you ever want to see, my wife and I live in Trenton, Mercer County, New Jersey, and we've seen that a couple of times. We went down to Washington Crossing, and we actually see the whole reenactment where they cross the Delaware River. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. The only thing is that I wish they were mic'd, because I would love to actually hear what they're saying.
Right.
Because they actually do a whole, like, dialogue and a whole, you know, before they cross.
Right, right.
It's not like, you know, it's not like a 10-minute thing.
No, no.
This is like a good... maybe hours.
Well, it lasted all night. I mean, the crossing was, like, all night. Like, he actually tried to race when he was across the Delaware to make sure he was at, I believe it was before 8 a.m. He was trying to smash into the British line before 8 a.m.
Mm.
And then he got there, whatever. He was a little delayed, but he was able to make it work. But
because the British were all drunk.
They were, yeah.
And right?
They were drunk, and they were waiting for ammunition. And they never came.
Oh, they were waiting for ammunition.
They were like, no, it's...
I think they were like in the pubs and just like, you know...
Well, their guard was down because of that. Because they figured the winter smashing into the American colonies. There's really not much you have to really worry about. And we're waiting...
The river was full of ice.
The river was full of ice. And we're waiting for the, you know, the ammunition. And so, all right, we're just gonna chill out. They had no idea the Americans were coming.
That's awesome.
And not only is that awesome, but that's the way we had to win the war.
That's,
with situations like this.
Right, sure.
Because after the Battle of Trenton, he was on his way to Princeton. It was a 12-mile march from Trenton to Princeton. And he made it look like that they were encamped in Trenton.
Okay.
But the reality was is they snuck out in the middle of the night to march into Princeton.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Right.
Washington, man.
Washington, yeah. I mean, it was it these guerrilla tactics. And it's great, too, because on the British side, there was a little level of gentlemanly battle. I guess the best way to say it is there were times where snipers could have killed Washington, like just straight up shot him. But at the time, they said, you know what, we're not going to go after officers that way. There was like a gentleman respect.
Wait a second. You're telling me the British soldiers had snipers?
Had snipers, so did the Americans.
Because I thought that the
Well, I guess
British...
we would call them snipers, but they had people that were very good at shots.
Yeah, but I thought the British didn't employ guerrilla tactics like that.
It wasn't guerrilla, but they were high-ranked marksmen that they had.
So they were a good shot.
They were a good shot, right. And there were times where, multiple times, and the history sources say this, that, you know, they were, they had them in his sights, and because of this gentleman warfare, which was, I guess, pompous at the time, I guess if you look back on it, hindsight's 2020, they didn't shoot and kill him. But the Americans did do the same thing in return because they had a war to win. It was different for them, like, you know.
But the rebellion, like, let's say the rebellion, as far as George Washington's guys, these guys were like, you know, they wouldn't think anything twice about hanging out in a tree or something and, like, firing down.
Exactly.
But the British guys wouldn't do stuff like that.
Exactly.
Okay, I just want to make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
because right, it was cool. like this gentleman.
Kind of a...
Like, yeah. How dare you, sir? Whoosh,
With a glove.
How dare you, sir?
Well, back then, like, the highest insult, like, it could be, like, calling somebody a nincompoop.
Right.
Like, that's, like, a big, like, insult.
Yeah, or the Americans would tar and feather you, which was pretty badass, but...
Tar and feather. Yeah.
But you know what? A side note to that, there's this great conservative documentary called America, Imagine a World Without Her. And they're talking about just like the great American ideals, pro-American, pro-conservative. And then in the very beginning of the story, it shows Washington, you know, in this battlefield, probably the battlefield of Princeton.
Uh-huh.
And it shows a sniper like or a good marksman from the British shoot him and he dies. And it says, imagine what would happen if Washington was killed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, so it's a pretty good, you know, there's a pretty good...
Is there an image of that online somewhere?
I can show you the video.
I want to see it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, because I mean, like, his argument for his documentary is,
yeah,
you know, imagine America without, a world without America. And that could be one of them.
Like a Marvel what if.
Right, kind of right.
Thing.
Marvel
yeah.
what if. Oh, I used to love those. Marvel what if. What if Wolverine had fought Conan?
Yeah. What if the Invisible Girl had died?
Yeah. Those what ifs are great. And I also have a book called What If about.
Do you really?
Yeah, about.
Marvel?
No, I'm not Marvel. History. Like,
oh, history, okay.
Written by historians. What if the South humbles the Union? What if America lost the Revolutionary War? And so it's kind of speculatory, but.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they. And I mean, I'll probably cover it, but they also speculate what happened if let's say, American one, you know, maybe we'd be speaking in the British accent. Who knows?
Yeah, I think we would be. I don't know. My wife wouldn't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
She loves all things British. She thinks she's British.
Did you tell her about the flag?
Yeah, I did. About okay. the Union Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, no, she's like, yeah, that's cool.
Going back to the whole Washington being in danger.
Yes.
The whole thing with the land development is basically to save Washington's charge.
You mean in Princeton?
In Princeton, right. Because what's happening is they want to take, I think it's Maxwell Field, they want to go ahead and, it's a company called IAS, Institute, it's an institute for just, you know, engineering or whatever, and they want to put housing right on Maxwell Field. But the problem is Maxwell Field, they're finding bullets, they're finding old shells.
Muskets and stuff?
Everything. They even had their own archaeologists go on there to do surveys, and their own archaeologists to say, yeah, listen, we're finding a lot of stuff. And according to experts, they're saying that the soil, when you find stuff on top, the soil is kind of preserving it, and you have to acknowledge it and dig into it. So whatever they're digging into, they're ripping apart the, you know, besides the fact that their American soldiers died in blood, all that, they're ripping apart American history.
Yeah, we fought this thing in Trenton, this development thing, but it wasn't like on historic ground.
Right.
It was with historic architecture and houses. They wanted to mow down 10 square city blocks of Trenton. Not only mowing down beautiful architecture, but also displacing like about 500 families, many of which who've paid off their homes.
Right.
Basically to put up Staten Island.
Right.
Look, no offense to people who are in Staten Island. I'm just saying, when you have beautiful architecture to be replaced with tract housing or ticky-tacky boxes, as my wife would say, there's something wrong with that.
Sure.
Not everything has to be, you know, like a suburb.
Right.
We spent, I don't know, maybe, it felt like an eternity, but I think it was about maybe 8 or 9 months fighting this land developer in Trenton who had the mayor's ear, who had council's ear. We put out a newsletter every, like, week. We hand-distributed the newsletter. We protested this thing, like, to the nines. Finally, it came down to this. We went to the, I'm not going to say the name of the developer, but we went to his house, took a picture of his house, and put that on the newsletter.
Wow.
And said, hey, here's where this guy's living. Maybe he has enough room in his house for these displaced families, you know, so you have nothing to worry about families because this guy will put you up at his house, you know.
Right.
And, like, I think the day that we finally got one of the flyers done right in Spanish, the Spanish translation, the day we finally got that right, the next day, the front page of the news, blank, blank, developer, not happening. Like, this thing is not going to happen, and they wound up not doing it. Thank God, because there's, like I said, beautiful homes, and families didn't have to lose where they live.
Right.
So, my point is that if you're fighting this thing, man, keep fighting. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting, because I do believe if you have enough voice behind it, City Hall will take notice, especially around an election year.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, definitely. I mean, the people have to be awake, have to be aware, and they have to unite in it for a cause, and
that's it.
Yeah, you know, and then with this whole thing with Princeton, whatever, it's like they're saying that whatever they're trying to build housing, right?
Yeah.
You can build that anywhere.
Right, absolutely.
All right? And America's huge, you know what I mean? And the Civil War Trust, who is spearheading this, is they are trying to negotiate with this institute, and they're not even having any negotiations. They offered the money to pay off for the land. Because somehow the way it works is they have, the institute has the right to the land. There was some sort of backdoor deal, or whatever the case may be, where they gave them the green light to go ahead and develop on it.
Who gave them the green light?
The municipal board in Princeton.
City Hall.
City Hall.
So the council.
Right. And so what they're trying to do is, so they have the green light, whatever, but they're ripping apart this land. And also, besides the fact, Washington Charge happened on this Maxwell Field where they want to develop. Now, Washington Charge is basically, during the Princeton battlefield, there was a skirmish with American and British forces. Washington came later.
Mm-hmm.
And he single-handedly went onto the field with his horse, and he was engaging all the men to go ahead and fight forward. There's even an account saying that one of his top generals or top soldiers put his hands over his head because what happened was it was a smoke of musket fire.
Yeah,
because Washington said hold and then fire, and then the British shot and there was a smoke, and he said that he literally put his hands on his face because he thought Washington was shot and killed. Again, that's another thing. So you have snipers. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we talked about the hand of God, Providence, right? They call it Providence, right?
Yeah.
The hand of God. He doesn't get killed by these marksmen. For the, we say it generally, but that could be an act of God. He's in the smoke in the front lines, leading his men on Maxwell's Field for Washington's charge. He's making that happen to go ahead and win Princeton. And his soldiers think he's dead because they put his hand over his eyes and he says, that's it, the cause is done, we lost Washington. And he comes unscathed out of the smoke.
Amen. Yeah.
You know? And all this, I'm telling you, is happening on this land that they're trying to bulldoze for stupid freaking housing. And, you know, it's kind of infuriating. You know what I mean?
I totally understand what you mean. I know how you feel, because I felt the same way when we went through this, and I still feel the same way. Take some of these parking lots and put housing up there, or empty lots like they did in Trenton.
Yeah.
They took the Champale factory, you know, on the Champale site. Well, this Champale site has been nothing. It's been empty for years. They just, KF Nanian actually, just put up 80-something townhomes. Beautifully done, microsurgery kind of, fit into the landscape kind of thing. People are living there now.
Yeah.
And it looks like a city. But they use an empty lot. Well, oh yeah, but the field is an empty lot. No, the field is not an empty lot. It's a field.
It's sacred ground.
That's it. It's a field. It's sacred ground. It's historic. Something happened there.
I mean,
try and do this in Virginia. They draw and quarter you.
Lynch you.
Quartered and...
Drawn and quartered.
Drawn and quartered. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we talk about it here in Princeton, whatever. It's like, you know, because New Jersey as a state already has a stigma in Hollywood. Like, they always look at us as, oh, you're from the armpit of the East Coast. I want to say to them, no. Incorrect. No. I'm pretty sure Washington was here. I'm pretty sure it was the third state.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it was the turning point of the American Revolution.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, so I mean,
so much so that I believe Trenton originally wanted to make the capital of the country.
Right.
Because that's where it all turned around. Trenton,
right.
Princeton.
Exactly. I mean, okay, granted, we're not as big as Gettysburg, but, you know, like...
Which is still kind of cool. But yeah.
I mean, history is history, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's like, I mean, they want to go ahead and make sure that the land is preserved so we can go ahead and teach our generation, you know, the sacrifices that made for American history.
Right.
And it's just, I'm all about it. You know, I'm like a student of everything. I'm a student of the martial arts. I'm a student of history. And that these things have to happen.
You totally are a student. Yeah, that's one thing that you're like the personification of a sponge. I mean, you could seriously, you could talk to Andrew and you could see, like, in his eyes how he's just sopping everything you say up, whether it even makes sense or not.
Mm.
You really are. You are totally a student of, like, everything.
Well, I appreciate that.
It really is quite fascinating.
You know, Bruce Lee said that. I'm not a master teacher. I'm a master student. Always learning, always striving. So I think
that's,
you have
right,
that mentality, you know. And even when I have conflict with people, I try to understand their point of view before I make judgment or make moves. If I understand your point of view, I'm less to really be inclined to, like, you know, to engage or be judgmental,
yeah, well,
or have
that,
an argument.
And in the line, and in the words of Bruce Lee, you're not thinking, you're feeling.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And I even tell people, you know, like, try to understand it. Don't try to be logical about it or try to, you know, to, like, you know, disengage about it. Understand the point of view. From there, I mean, you don't have to agree
with
me.
Yeah.
Agreement and understanding are two different things. You can understand something and still disagree with it. But as far as I'm concerned...
Wait, back up. Say that again. You can... Say that again.
Understanding and agreeing are two different things. Understand it first.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just jump the gun and they just say, no, I don't agree with that. And that's where you
Without getting any kind of research or information.
Right.
Okay,
oh, like, I mean, that's where you get your...
Make sure I'm following you.
Yeah.
It's still early. I only have one cup.
You know, make sure you're not parodying what you hear. Make sure you're not brainwashed or whatever. You know, because I can understand point of views. And then from that point of view, I'll make a judgment if I agree or disagree. But once you understand, it's great. It's a great, not only debate, but it's a great to know things.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in a much better position to agree and or disagree.
Right.
Absolutely.
By the way, nice Batman shirt. Where's your mask?
Thank you. My mask is home.
Okay.
I don't like to wear it out. See, because I am Batman, one
so
way
that
I throw... No, I definitely am. And you can agree or disagree or understand what I'm saying. So my point is that... So to throw people off, I'll wear a Batman shirt. See, like,
first of all,
why would Batman do that? He probably wouldn't. That's the genius of it.
First of all, when the next time you say I'm Batman, you have to say, I'm Batman.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. I won't use my voice to... illustrate that fact because, again, to throw people off.
So. Right, I got you.
It's part of my great detective work.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
Right.
Bruce Wayne is just another disguise of mine.
Sure.
You know.
Maybe if you get zillions of dollars, then you can be Bruce Wayne. I mean, you know, that's...
What about zillions of dollars? That's a lot of money.
I don't think Bruce Wayne has a limit on his money. Did they ever say that in the
comic? Actually, no. You know what? His funds are limitless. because he's on this rotating residual thing that right. he has some kind of funds with that was set up when he was a kid.
Or maybe he plays both sides of the coin. Like, he goes ahead and smashes into the bad guy's stuff and then takes it and loots it and puts it in the Batcave. You never know.
I never do. I mean, I don't think he would ever do that. I think right. that's very uncharacteristic of him.
Fair enough.
But I'm telling you, I hate heights and I hate the dark. And my wife was like, "Some Batman you are. You don't like you're scared of the dark and you don't like heights. You get right. dizzy." I'm like, that's the ultimate. You know,
you could be right. I mean, if Batman can't kill the Joker, maybe he isn't stealing all that money.
There you go.
Isn't that the greatest duality, though?
Yeah, it's one of the greatest. Batman and Joker, they can't exist without each other.
No, it's unbelievable, and that's why I love even about comic books. Because again, going to the whole deeper underlying thing. You know, have you ever read The Watchmen?
Yes. It's a very intellectual comic.
The premise is who watches The Watchmen, right? When you have a whole right. governing body, right?
Right, sure.
You know, kind of like in American politics, like the corporations run everything. Well, who's watching the corporations?
Who's watching
right?
them, exactly.
Right. I kind of got that idea with Batman because, like, you know, Batman is supposed to be going after Joker, who's quote-unquote insane, but Batman wears a mask. And why is he wearing the mask? And who says he's not insane? And if you read Arkham Asylum, it kind of gives you that
very
idea.
Very disturbing issue.
Yeah.
The graphic novel you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, very disturbing.
It's very painted, yeah.
It's very... Oh, man. It's so unnerving just to look at, not even read.
Right.
The way it's laid out, the artwork itself of Arkham Asylum is very, very unnerving, very disturbing, and also very... what's that word I'm looking for? Not fascinating, intriguing. Very intriguing. That it makes you want to, like, look at it more. Look through it more
right.
and read more through it.
You either read it or just look at it.
I would say Batman's... I mean, look, you have to be just this side of crazy to dress up in a rubber suit like a flying rat, you know, every night from 12 midnight to 4 a.m. That's the shift.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I know he must be getting his naps in, like, around 6 or 7.
His naps!
You think Batman naps? He's got a nap. I mean, it's not like Superman where he gets to go ahead and keep all the sun in all night and be okay for all night.
Right. But he's not a night bird, Superman.
Yeah, but he can survive in the night. I mean, come on, that's where he takes Lois. They fly
at
night.
He's a day person.
Yeah, but they fly by night, like the Rush album, they fly by night.
Okay, I'll give you that, I guess. Are you looking forward to the new Batman Superman movie?
You know, I am. I'm a fan. I love Batman. You know what I mean? When I first heard about it, I was kind of like this. I was like, come on, are you doing Justice League or not? There's already two Avengers movies out. You're getting your butt kicked.
Yeah.
Marvel's kicking your butt. Let's get a Justice League movie out. And I think that's what's going to happen with this new movie.
Well, this is Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great. I like Ben Affleck a lot as Batman. He kind of has that Bruce Wayne persona.
I didn't think I was going to like him at all. And I actually, from what I've seen... Very, very, very impressed.
Yeah. And they even say they got in super shape with that. And that also, that costume is very different. That's from the Dark Knight Returns.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's what they're basing this whole thing on.
Oh, yeah. That's a great comic.
Batman, Superman, in just a fight, who's going to win? Now, most people are going to say Superman. What do you think?
As good as Batman is, I don't know. I don't know if he can, like, you know, I know he has a suit. He can fight him with a suit.
He's so smart.
Yeah, but he's human.
He's so smart.
Yeah, but he's
so. Wait a minute. Does Superman have super intellect? I don't think he does. Because if he did, you'd think he'd find out and figure out a way to overcome this kryptonite thing.
Yeah, but I mean, if Bruce was so smart, Batman was so smart, why not make a suit out of kryptonite?
All right, I'll give you that.
But I will say this, though.
I didn't think of that, actually.
I saw another, it was like an animated movie, and it might have come from a comic book, where, the premise is this, like, I thought this was so fascinating, that when Man of Steel came out, remember the scene where the general comes down, General Zod, and he kind of, like, hits everybody's technology, and he's like, we just want the Kal-El, bring us to us, and nothing will happen to you?
Sure.
Apparently, there's either a preview going around, or was it maybe a storyboard that... Bruce Wayne saw that, and then he was fed up with what happened, and then that was his agenda to go after Superman. Like when Zod came down, they were destroying the whole world. Like, so as the middle to the end of Man of Steel is happening,
okay,
that's happening in Gotham as well. Or at the very least, Bruce Wayne / Batman is seeing that, and he's probably like, these aliens, if they were in Gotham, I'd take care of them. So the idea is he has this animosity towards anybody that's a superhero,
right?
Because they're so powerful and they're so strong that he needs to find a way to counteract that. So in this TV show, or this movie to TV show, he has all detailed files on every single Justice League America member.
Right, and how to
shut him down, if necessary.
Right.
Because even there's also another dialogue where, like, Superman accepts that Batman has that on him. He says, you know what? You're right. What if I lose it one day? You never know. And he gives him, here's how to stop me, or here's more. Maybe that's a kryptonite thing. At least for Superman.
All right.
But the premise is, the idea is, you're a superhero, but you're not human, and I can't control you, we can't control you, so we gotta find a way to control you. Similar to Avengers Civil War. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the premise of Civil War.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I like that just tells me about corruption in American politics to no end. Here's Iron Man. I want to make the world. Well, did you see Captain America and Winter Soldier yet?
Yeah.
You know, what was, what's his face is premise? The boss, Robert Redford, his character.
Uh-huh.
I want to make the world safe.
Right.
If we can stop every single terrorist cell or whatever, well, how do we do that? By keeping every single person on target.
Mm-hmm.
That's his idea of stopping it.
Right.
You know?
Which is actually making it worse.
Exactly. Because he becomes the things he wants to destroy.
Exactly.
You know? And Captain America rebels, and guess what? The Super Patriot is labeled falsely by the establishment as a terrorist. But in reality, he is fighting for liberty.
Right.
And that's the premise of Civil War.
And they could have said the same thing about Washington back in the day.
That's what they did.
And they basically did. Right.
That's what they said. Ben Franklin has a quote that says, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately.
Ah. I like
that. You know? Yeah, and I'll give you another perspective, too. Yeah. When they were signing the Declaration of Independence, okay?
Yeah.
You know why people say John Hancock? Let me have your John Hancock?
Yeah. He was the first one to sign.
His logo was much bigger.
Also the biggest, right.
But it's the reason for that.
His signature.
Because the founders are like, we are putting our lives, our livelihood, and we're sacrificing it for this cause. Because if we do not succeed, we're going to be tried as terrorists. So we would be speaking, if the Americans lost, we would be British citizens, speaking a British accent, probably saying, what if? What if the terrorist known as George Washington, what if he succeeded?
What if he won?
There's your time travel right there.
What if he won, mate?
Yeah, there's your time travel right there. and so John Hancock's signature was the biggest to say,
screw you.
Screw you. You know?
That sounds like something I could see you doing.
Good.
Like, your name would be... Like, dude, the rest of us have to sign, man. It's like, you know when you get, like, somebody's birthday, and we all sign a card, and you always have that one jerk that signs it, like, their name as big as the freaking thing is. It's like, yeah, dude, there are other people that have to sign this.
Besides the fact that my last name is this big.
Yeah, exactly. Your last name goes on forever. I think it uses every vowel. It uses at least all of the letters, I think, at least twice. One of them ongoing Greek
Frank.
Forever names.
Sure, Frank. We'll go with that.
A-N-A-S-T. That's as far as I ever get.
In the future,
yes.
When I sign a card, I will refrain.
Just put A-A. Then we know.
I will refrain for John Hancocking it.
Put Spartan.
Spartan. Don't John Hancock it.
Right. And what is it? The Hellenic historian?
The Hellenic historian.
I love that. Whenever you say that on your intro.
Well, do you know what it means?
I kind of do, but I'm almost like I.
Let me hear you. Let me hear what you say, and then I'll correct
you. Well, Hellenic isn't that a Greek reference?
Yes.
Okay, so you're the Hellenic historian, meaning you are a historian, you're into old things history, but you kind of lean more toward the Greek end of history, correct?
Right, exactly. Okay, so the word Hellenic...
You're going to tell me anyway.
I'm going to tell you anyway.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank Sasso from A History with God Ministries. Recently, I was the guest on another podcast called History on Fire Now with Andrew Anastasopoulos. Very good friend of mine. Andrew is all about history, so I'm going to play this episode for you this week on the Who's Your Daddy Godcast. And remember, we love you. God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Romans were after,
but they would call us the Greeks.
Sure.
So the word Greek comes from the Latin term, and you can even find the way how that derives. But if you ask a Greek what they are, we say Imelenika, we are Hellenic, we are Hellene, we come from Hellene. And if you look at the, if you look up Greece as the Hellenic Republic.
So Hellenic, so that, like the movie Troy, which you probably hate.
You know what, I like the movie Troy. It's not as good as the book, but it's good. There's some really good scenes in it.
So the one from National Treasure, that actress, the girl.
Yeah.
She played the queen of...
She was a queen, you know, she was the queen of the ancient Achaeans, right.
But don't they mention Hellenic... Or Helena?
Her name's Helen. But that's where it comes from.
Oh, like, that's where
it comes from. The name Helen comes from Helene.
Okay.
You know?
Which was
an
Greek
ancient...
Greek to me.
Right. Greek to you. Which was an ancient Greek right. God.
Okay.
And it was spelled with two H's, the L's, H-E-L-L-E-N-E, and that's where it comes in. But her name was Helen, so it comes from the same derivative.
Gotcha, okay. So then it's basically the same. Okay.
Right. So now we're known as technically, if you want to get really ethnic, we're known as Hellenes or Hellenic.
Okay.
So, anyway, I don't have a problem with the word Greek. I mean, it's cool. We're Greek people. We get it. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say the Greeks have a more pure way of thinking, but then again, it's like when you boil it down, it's like, what are the roots of it all?
Yeah. Well, what's hysterical is that you look at your website, you look at your podcast artwork, you listen to the show, the fact that you're even saying that you're the Hellenic historian is redundant.
Yeah, how so?
It's so obvious, the Greek, your last name alone, that you even have to say that is hysterical to me.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, though, I could have been like the Greek historian, but that would be true what you're saying if I used the word Greek. But if I used the word Hellenic, they're like, oh, Hellenic, that sounds interesting. What is that? I never heard that.
But it basically comes down to the same thing, is that it's Greek.
Yeah, but most people don't know the word Hellenic, Hellene, or whatever kind of stuff. Okay. It's HH, you know? Hellenic H-H. Historian, you know?
I like that. HHAA. Yeah.
Or just go by the Spartan, you know, whatever.
The Spartan. I love it. So you got your app is coming out soon.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yes. Very compliments cool. of you, sir.
Yeah, listeners, just like be aware, the Spartan, it's called Spartan.
The Spartan.
The Spartan app.
You were so funny last week. You were like, why don't we come up with a word that's really cool?
We needed a word.
And I'm like, the Spartan app. Done.
Yeah, you were just, it's written on your arm. I need one word to call this app. So we're calling it the Spartan app.
The Spartan app.
You could have the podcast on there. You can join the newsletter on there.
Right.
Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. All the stuff. But I like the artwork looks very cool. Looks just like your website. But I like that you can listen to the podcast right on the app.
I like you to do everything on the app. I mean, it's like a mini robot. It's a mini Terminator if you think about it.
A mini robot? Is that how you pronounce it?
It's like a mini Terminator. I mean, I really want to get into it. You know, it's Skynet. Guys,
here we go.
Guys, Skynet. All right? All right, the app. Skynet.
No, iCloud. Don't look up Skynet the app, because you won't find Spartan the app.
I'm just saying iCloud is Skynet. That's another spoiler for you guys.
There you go. Spoiler alert. Too late. Anyway, listen to it backwards. You'll be okay. But the Spartan app. It's coming out soon. I would say like in another maybe 2 weeks or so, it should be up on Google Play and the iTunes store.
Great. It looks great. I love that, you know, everything is just access to it. What I'm fascinated about is this, that, you know, you created this app that lets you say, hey, by the way, this is going on, and everybody knows about it.
That's it.
Like that.
Digital shoves,
aka push notification.
That's right. But digital shoves, I believe you have the trademark on digital shoves now, which is cool too.
Cool. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah. For those of you who are wondering, well, what does Frank have to do with the app? I am part owner of New Pod City, which is a podcast provider company, newpodcity.com. Also go to podauthority.com, where that's the podcast directory for New Pod City, and RCEM Designs, which is River City E-Marketing. So we do websites, apps, podcasts, we do it all, and Andrew's actually one of my clients, but he's also a friend of mine too, so that's how this kind of all happened.
And also, we have the martial arts connection as well.
Martial arts connection, that's correct. And, oh, by the way, you know, you introduce your show, you say, welcome to historyonfirenow.com. That's not the podcast, that's the website.
All right. It's the website. Guys, it's the website.
Yeah, that's the website. That's not the podcast. The podcast is History on
Listen,
Fire Now.
Listen, normally, my viewers know that I have a whole thing that I say.
Your viewers?
Oh, listeners. Excuse me, my listeners. They know what I'm saying.
Right.
They know what I'm saying. You know, today I'm kind of just winging it with you.
Okay.
So there's no training wheels today.
And no, the training wheels are off, and you're gliding along very nicely.
Under your suggestion, the training wheels are off.
Oh, well, hey, you know, whatever works.
So, you know, History on Fire Now. History on Fire Now. That's History on Fire Now.
That's the podcast.
That's the podcast.
Well, what's your website?
History on Fire Now. .com.
Ah, I see what you did there. All right. Very nice. Very nice what you did.
So is there any other way that they can reach you, my audience?
Well, my wife and I have a ministry called A History with God Ministries. We are born-again Christians. We like to refer to our ministry as the Ministry for Non-Religious People.
Okay.
So you can actually go on to ahistorywithgod.org. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ahistorywithgod. You can find us on Twitter at A History with God. Look us up on YouTube, A History with God Ministries, and you could email us at info at ahistorywithgod.org.
Very cool, very cool. And what was your latest topic about?
Latest topic is called Bible or Bull.
Bible or Bull.
Me and my treasurer, Keith Axum. He's also the director of marketing and new media. And he has this game that he designed called Bible or Bull. And he asks me questions. Actually, he doesn't ask me questions. He makes these statements, and I have to know if there's evidence in the Bible to support that statement or if it's just bull.
Okay.
And we kind of, like, lose it on this episode. We just, like, we're very close. We're good friends. Been good friends for more than 10 years now. But I just, like, they're so funny at points where we just are cracking up. And so it's a cool way to learn about the Word of God without getting all preachy and churchy about
right.
it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can go, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, any of those. But if you go to ahistorywithgod.org and click on Godcast, it's the Who's Your Daddy Godcast.
Gotcha.
And we'll be launching our app soon as well. Go on there and you'll see it right there.
And I love that you're doing that, though, because I think a lot of people need to understand that. You can't comment on something if you don't read it or
absolutely.
If you don't know. And that goes with everything. I mean, that's almost like, that's like, you know, how you should read the Bible. And that's also like learning 101. Like, if you don't know about Greek history, talk to me or talk to somebody. Don't just run your mouth.
Talk to somebody
you know?
Who knows about the thing.
Right.
And then run with that.
Exactly. And even just, and read the book. Read it and formulate your thoughts.
Absolutely.
If your thoughts aren't that developed, then find somebody to help develop them.
You know, a lot of people would say, well, let me ask you. Let's see. We could actually have a real life situation. Okay.
Bible or bull? Okay,
Bible or bull. Okay, ready? This is one of the questions Keith asked me. Everything in the Bible is true.
Bull.
It's actually Bible. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Everything in the Bible is true. But not everything in the Bible is truth. Meaning, it says in the Bible, Jesus is of Beelzebub. Right. One of the Pharisees said that about Jesus.
Right.
But it's not the truth.
Right.
Right?
I see what you're saying.
So it's like little things like that. It's like, oh, that's interesting. I never heard. What we try and do at History with God Ministries, and even when we preach, when we go to churches, is we present the word in a very, very relatable way.
Right.
We don't like, you know, make it all preachy where you're feeling condemned, you know,
right.
or you're feeling like, oh, well, I have no chance at, like, you know, with God wanting to show me favor or grace or mercy.
Sure.
And the reason that we created the podcast that we did, and by the way, we won for best podcast of the year in 2013 in our category, in a subcategory called Religion and Spirituality, but for Christianity.
Right.
You know? So we won, not even knowing what we were doing. Look, we're living in a golden age right now where everybody has a laptop or a mobile device where you can open it up, jack in a mic, and just start talking. And people just hear you.
Sure.
So within a year.
Especially people, with the Skynet app. They know
exactly,
everything.
There you go. Exactly. You could do a podcast on your phone at a red light, and within hours, people are going to hear you.
Sure.
So we did this not knowing what we were doing. We won a year later for best podcast. Like, what? What? We got over 2,000 votes. I didn't even know there was a voting process. I didn't even know there was this thing was even happening.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing on any directory that I could find that was a Christian podcast that I wanted to listen to.
Right.
It was all just either sermons of the week, which are okay, but I just wanted to hear a show. Bunch of people hanging around talking about God,
yeah.
but in a very relaxed way. It
sure.
didn't exist, so we created it. And I got to say, most of the time, I'm listening to my own show.
Right.
Just because I enjoy it. So this show didn't exist, we created it, so now it exists out there, and people seem to like it. We get like so much feedback from people around the world, from mm-hmm. India, from Texas, you know, right? And now it's come to a point where once a month, my wife and I have to do a Q&A show just to answer the emails that are coming in. So it definitely encourages people. God's totally using it to touch people in a way that I could never think possible in my own ability. Or might, so that's where we're at.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're doing good work. That's the most important
thing. Thank you, bro.
You know?
It's a lot of fun.
You know, we have to be light bearers for the future generations.
That's right. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Green and blue lightsabers, no red lightsabers.
No red lightsabers. Green and blue are the good guys, and purple if you're Mace Windu or you're Samuel L. Jackson,
you know,
with a little bit of an ego.
You know, if you want to be
I want to be picked out of a crowd.
What about purple? Can I have purple? And then George Lucas goes, you know, it's green
right.
or it's blue.
Yeah,
that's the way it works.
And then, can I have purple?
Can I have purple? And they go like this. He goes, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Oh.
And spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. His lightsaber is now purple.
Spoiler alert. Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader.
Oh, dude, what are you doing? Oh, that's not even right. That's not right.
Well, how do
you
know?
He's also Luke's father and Leia.
Whoa.
Which means they're brother and sister, which means that was the whole reason that they even had Han Solo in there, so that Princess Leia would have a love interest.
Mm.
Talk to my wife about that, because I had no clue.
Good, good. And and I don't care what anybody says, though, but Greedo did not shoot first.
I believe Han shot first, because Han was... They had to... You know, if you're reading the script... It says Han shoots first.
He did shoot first, but it was digitally altered to not shoot first. For I don't know
to the make Han Solo look like not so much of a jerk.
Well, he was a badass. Just leave it at that.
That's why he shot first.
He had to.
He wasn't shooting out of self-defense. And if Greedo was such a good shot, how does he miss at point-blank range? Give me a break.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
we'll get started now.
Although this is a history show, as you can see, we're going all over the
whatever.
Place.
It's and whatever sure today. It's a birthday show.
It's a birthday show. And you know what? We're going to do a Star Wars show one of these days. You're going to learn about the history behind Star Wars.
I just might have to be a regular on your show now. This is you just said two things that I want to totally be on. The time travel show and the Star Wars show.
Okay, deal.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds and if you ever do a Rocky show, there's not even a question, even though you got me with that one question.
I can get you a lot of questions. I'm a freak. I just got Creed yesterday. I watched it like three times
already. What do you mean you just got it?
It's on Blu-ray. Came out Tuesday.
You just watched it recently?
No, in addition to seeing like four times in the theater, I just
saw... Oh, you did see... Okay, all right.
Yeah, I saw like three times.
You know who my favorite character was in that movie?
Who?
Philadelphia. Really? Okay. Seriously, I thought Philly became a character in that movie. I read that somewhere. I'm like, that is totally on target.
It's true.
Philadelphia was actually a character in that movie.
I mean, they had Ben Franklin, they had the American Revolution, but now they have
Stallone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But but really. Oh, my God.
You know, that
this
blows
me. This is going in every direction.
That blows me away. You know, they one of the reasons why they took the statue down first, and then they put it up like 10 years ago in front of it. But remember how it used to be? Where it was in the movies, on top of the steps, is where it really used to be. And they were saying some...
No!
Yeah. It was a real statue. That's where it was.
No, I know it's a real... But first of all, it wasn't even at the museum.
It was there. They moved it.
They moved it because they didn't want it.
Yeah, but they were making up some bogus idea like, oh, it's a movie prop. It's not real part of Philadelphia. Besides the fact...
It was at the Spectrum.
Yeah, but... No. Yeah, it was at the stairs first when they were filming the movies.
In Rocky III.
In Rocky III.
They had it on the stairs
for the
movie. It was
there. It was supposed to stay there. It
right,
was supposed
because
to stay
of
there.
The steps. He runs up the steps. That was the
right.
whole point. They
and
put
then
him on
somebody
the
made a big stink about it, and they moved it from there to the Spectrum.
To the... Right.
And now they moved it back.
Back to the museum, but on the side.
On the side. But it was supposed to stay where it was in Rocky III. That was the original idea.
Yeah, but Philly didn't want it.
Not Philly. I think the people. Somebody was like, oh, it's not real art. Get it off of here.
You know, I don't like this statue right here on the steps. You know what I mean? I wonder who that could have been. I didn't like it over there.
Yeah, maybe it was Ivan. You know, it was that great. So, some, I mean, no, because I'm thinking about it. Because, besides the fact that it's culturally relevant.
Yeah, probably some Schwarzenegger fan.
No, that's funny. Probably. He probably was like, no, come, get rid of it right now. Get out of it. I'm done.
Hey, yo, Arnold, you know what I mean, man? Nobody has a statue with you.
Sly.
And move forward.
Sly.
I gotta say, you do a great Arnold Schwarzenegger. My Schwarzenegger impression always winds up going, get in the chopper.
Well, I told you, that's only part of it.
I know.
You know? It's gotta be in levels.
This has become now where we're doing impressions. Oh my
god. So anyway, so it was like, I get it out of here. I'm done. This Sly is from Philadelphia. He's a copying all my movies. He's copying all my and done. I'm done competition. Get it out of here. Anyway.
I'm exhausted.
I am too. So that brings us to the end of this amazing conversation. But rest assured, this is only part one.
Really? We have more to record?
If you want. So, any last words?
Visit us at newpodcity.com, rcemdesigns.com, and especially at historywithgod.org. Other than that, no, I'm good.
If you want to go ahead and help with the campaign to save the Princeton battlefield,
yes.
Please check out campaign1776.org. Sign the petition.
Let them know you heard about that from the History on Fire Now podcast.
And, get involved because social change only happens when everybody gets involved and they make a decision like we talked about
that's
earlier.
Right, absolutely.
When you make a decision, you move forward. And we all can, the things that we believe in, we can fight. And if you want to check me out, I'm on Facebook, History on Fire Now on Facebook. You can catch me on Twitter at hashtag History in Flames, and also the website, www.historyonfirenow.com. Thank you for listening. I had a great time. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks for having me, man. Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for being here, and let's do it again soon.
You got it.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Later.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.